From healthcare publisher Allied 360, this is Sleep Review Conversations. I'm Sri Roy, editor of Sleep Review Magazine and SleepReviewMag.com. This episode's topic is sleep lab technologists' evolving roles. Many different forces are converging to change the traditional roles of sleep technologists. Moving forward, there are both new challenges and new opportunities. To speak on these evolving roles are our distinguished panelists. Rita Brooks, MED, RST, RPSGT, REEG, EPT, is Director of Diagnostic Services at Capital Health in Trenton, New Jersey, and has been involved in sleep technologist education and advocacy for over 25 years. She currently serves as AAST President and as a member of the AASM Scoring Manual Committee. Rita is a co-editor of Fundamentals of Sleep Technology, Second Edition, and the just-published Fundamentals of Sleep Technology Workbook. Donna Arend, PhD, is the clinical director of the Sleep Disorders Center at Kettering Hospital in Dayton, Ohio. She is currently secretary of the BRPT. She is also an associate research professor of neurology at the Wright State University Boonshoff School of Medicine. Dr. Arend has served on the AASM Board of Directors and is former chair of the AASM Accreditation Committee. James P. Cranson, MD, FCCP, FAASM, RPSGT, is board certified in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine, and sleep disorders. He is also an RPSGT and is the medical director of the South Florida School of Sleep Medicine. Dr. Cranson graduated from the University of Miami School of Medicine and completed his internship, residency, and fellowship at Mount Sinai Medical Center of Greater Miami. Robin Wardke, MSN, RPSGT, CCP, CCSH, has enjoyed a varied career in sleep medicine and medical device industries, combining research and education, primarily on sleep-related products and topics. Robin strongly believes that sleep health should be promoted and advanced through primary care and medical specialties, as well as the inpatient environment. She is a principal at Sleep for Nurses, an educational endeavor, and Sleep Apnea Risk Associates, a risk management strategy company. Welcome and thank you for joining me. Home sleep testing and auto-titrating positive airway pressure devices are two technologies that are changing sleep technologists' roles. What challenges and what opportunities do the growth of HST and APAP provide to sleep techs? Dr. Cranson, let's start with you.
All right. I think that the first thing that should be noted is that many of the sleep tests are being taken out of the lab, out of the sleep lab. The HST is putting it in people's homes. It's a misnomer, though, because it's not a test of sleep. It's a home monitoring of someone's respirations during the night. And most of the equipment does not measure sleep. So many of the sleep disorders are not being evaluated by these home sleep tests. Be that as may, the patients still need to be instructed on to their use of the equipment and the results. And here I think we're finding use for our sleep technologists to have the patients get instructions as to how to set up the sleep testing equipment that they'll be putting on themselves, how to take it off, how to care for it for the night, how to troubleshoot small problems. And our sleep technologists are doing that during the daytime now. When they don't have work to do at night.
Thank you for that response. Would anyone else like to share their insights on the impacts of HST and APAP?
This is Rita. I'd like to say that we've seen a similar issue, and we've expanded the role of our sleep technologists as well. We are finding that it's a challenge doing the home sleep apnea testing, because we don't get to spend as much time with the patients as we typically would. But we have really expanded the role of the technologist, and they're doing quite a bit of patient education. We're finding that that is helping the success rate, particularly for the patients that are not only having the diagnostic test at home, but also the AutoPAP. That's the bigger challenge for us.
I agree that the more involved the sleep technologist is all throughout the procedure, the better the success rate is. And I think this is something that, you know, has been under-realized. I think the more education the patient gets, the better the compliance is, and the better compliance is, obviously, the better healthcare outcome you're going to have. So this is a way that we're also using our sleep technologist.
That's true. And yes, APAP does provide some particular challenges for compliance, for sure. Well, savvy sleep techs may consider developing different skills from those that they've focused on in the past. What would you each say is one old skill that sleep techs should focus less on developing, and one new skill sleep techs will need for the future? Rita, let's start with you.
Well, I truly don't believe there are any old skills that need to go away. I think there are a lot of old skills that need to be enhanced. We're seeing a number of sicker patients in our sleep labs at night. Therefore, those technologists need a higher level of training, and we're encouraging a higher level of education from the AST perspective and also from my own laboratory's perspective. But I think the other thing that technologists need to learn more about are things like understanding insurances and the requirements for pre-authorizations, a solid foundation in the sleep disorders and comorbid conditions so that they can assist the physicians that are seeing patients, which is happening in my particular practice and in others that I'm aware of. And basically, I think a higher education level to be able to interact with patients at a higher level and help with patient adherence, in particular for the sleep apnea patients.
Hi, this is Robin. I agree with Rita. I'll just jump right in.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay. And, you know, I think some of the things that the sleep technologist should begin to start to focus on are chronic care principles. Learning how we can integrate sleep into a population health. How do we integrate the sleep technologist in the medical home as either a neighbor or part of a primary care practice? How I would like to see, or how I could foresee a sleep technologist integrating, is becoming the quote-unquote kind of the sleep specialist or the sleep professional within a primary care practice, where maybe it's providing home sleep tests in conjunction with the sleep center, kind of being the part of a hub and spoke team, if you would. I think sometimes patients don't follow up on their sleep test because they don't understand the importance of it. So I believe the sleep technologist, with improving their skills, their critical thinking skills, integrating, again, concepts of chronic care, integrating, as Rita mentioned, the bidirectionality between the comorbid conditions, and getting patients to really understand the importance of sleep health to their overall health. And I think, I really believe that that could be an expanding role inside and outside of the sleep center. I could also see this role, the sleep technologist role, being integral as part of possibly an intensivist or a hospitalist team within an acute care environment, providing necessary services for CPAP application during acute period, and ensuring that those patients who are either A, have a high suspect that they have sleep apnea, make sure they're followed up and get to the sleep center after their discharge, as well as being a clinical liaison in the acute care environment, whether it's just in general admissions or within the perioperative environment.
I also think the technician needs to get away from that narrow perspective of hooking up patients and running sleep studies at night because of the changes in the field. And what they probably need to be focusing on for the future is developing patient or people skills and learning how to assimilate a variety of information from different sources, not just sleep, but understand other comorbidities to a degree and how they may all interact so they can work with patients to look at outcomes and to improve their adherence to treatments, not just CPAP adherence, which is important, but there's a whole range of sleep disorders, and as physicians get busier and busier, there's less and less face-to-face time for the physician to actually explain to the patient so they can understand, and empowering the patient to take care of themselves and understand what it is they're doing at home to improve their outcomes and help them with that self-care aspect of the home-centered patient so that the physician is freed up and you have somebody in between the patient and the physician that can do so much of the education and the work that needs to be done to improve the lives of patients with a variety of sleep problems and other comorbid conditions, some of which are going to interact and aggravate each other.
I agree completely. I think that having the sleep technician in that role would be greatly appreciated by the patient. I think it improves their health outcomes. But until we get the third-party payers and administrations and other people to appreciate that role, it's going to be very difficult to accomplish.
Oh, and I agree with that completely, but, you know, you got to start somewhere, and every specialty, even sleep, started as an outcast. You know, sleep wasn't even considered a legitimate area of science or medicine when I started out. And, you know, you just keep chipping away at it and showing people how valuable it is. And even apart from that, I think there's a lot of history about educators, diabetes educators, mm-hmm. you know, rehab medicine, all of these things had to fight for coverage when they started out. But I think the people in the sleep field realize how important it is, and it will eventually get there. It's just, you know, when you're at the beginning of something, it's always the biggest struggle.
Well, I think for every one of us, how we spend our 6 to 8 hours at night definitely reflects on what's happening for the remainder of our day. And I think that people underestimate that all the time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Would anyone else like to add anything on the evolving skill set of the sleep technologists and what they need to expand into?
I just think, too, that we do need to incorporate other, you know, lifestyle management skills, counseling, nutrition, learning more about maybe, you know, weight loss management, and how do we integrate that into the overall, you know, sleep hygiene and other kinds of things like that. I think, you know, as a coach in some way, shape, or form can help people change, you know, lifestyle modification. So I think that would be another skill that could be integrated by a sleep technologist.
I can foresee in the area of shift work that could be critical to a company to have somebody on their team in their health team that would be able to counsel people regarding what they should do about their shift work and how they should best approach it.
I'd like to add, we shouldn't forget that the technology at night is changing and becoming more it's requiring technologists to work at a much higher skill level. When you start talking about pediatrics and seizures and servoventilation and patients with COPD and congestive heart failure. So, you know, the education focus needs to be also on the education of the night technologists so that they're better caring for the patient.
What a great roundtable of responses. Thank you all for those insights. We've recently seen some initiatives geared toward helping sleep technologists adapt, such as BRPT's CCSH credential. What initiatives do you predict will make an impact on the field in the next 3 to 5 years? Robin, what is your perspective?
Well, I think the CCSH has been a wonderful first step in providing the certification, a rigorous, you know, test development process. And I think certification in any profession demonstrates, you know, a higher sense of proficiency, as well as provides the public recognition that this person is knowledgeable and capable of providing the care that's needed. But I think it's a good first step. I think what we need to see is leadership in the field to move forward, to work on public policy, to engage our elected officials, get them to understand the importance of sleep health, and not just in terms of public health, but individual health, workplace productivity, accidents. You know, we're all very familiar with those kinds of issues. But I think it's going to take a concerted effort, as Donna indicated, that we need to be very activated and be an advocate for ourselves, our role in sleep medicine in these different areas. And, you know, maybe, you know, we have lobbyists going out or we, like I said, engage our individual congresspeople and senators and get them to jump on board with us. And it's not easy. It takes time and effort for people to do. But I think if we don't start to move forward in that area, we're not going to make any progress.
And the interesting thing about that, the BRPT's CCSH credential, is that it's not just limited to sleep technologists. It really is an inclusive credential so that people in healthcare, such as in the area of diabetes or obesity, they may also be interested in this particular credential because sleep impacts everything we do, as we're finding out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't test anything where sleep doesn't seem to have a role. And so bringing these individuals who are specialists in other areas and letting them see how sleep impacts what they're doing and their treatment processes and their education of the patients really is going to have, I think, a huge impact on medicine in general. So sleep will be part of other areas of medicine as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. We have been working on a job description for sleep technologists that is also expandable to others at the AST, and we've been focusing on increasing the level of education for technologists, and that's been coming from leaders not only at the AST, but the BRPT and the ASM. Everyone seems to be heading in the same direction in that our educators need to become educated at a higher level, whether they be technologists or nurses. We're even seeing some medical assistants that are getting involved, and I was very surprised to find that most medical assistants have at least an associate's degree as entry level in their field. So the education piece, I think, is one of the things that's going to make an impact on our field going forward.
Terrific insights. Would anyone else like to add their perspective on any initiatives poised to make an impact? Okay, let's move on to the next question then. With these changes to sleep technologist roles and the potential for some to seek alternative career paths in light of the changing times, do you predict that there will be a shortage of sleep technologists in the future? Why or why not? Dr. Arend, what are your thoughts on a possible shortage?
Well, actually, we're seeing a shortage in some parts of the country now. California, for one, in my area in Southwest Ohio, we have jobs that for registered techs that we can't fill for 3 months or longer. Different facilities or hospitals are bidding up the price to get a registered tech. In California, I was told recently that the jobs will be posted for 9 months, and the salaries are very high. We have signing bonuses for sleep techs in some areas in Cincinnati, so we're seeing a shortage already. So I think that will continue for a while until people realize home sleep testing is not going to totally close sleep labs everywhere. There will always be a need for some in-lab studies, and certainly the knowledge and scope of knowledge that a registered tech has can be the basis for developing other skills, and certainly explaining to patients in terms they can understand what their sleep study means, even if it was done as a home sleep test or at another facility. So I think while some sleep centers have closed because of insurance issues and other things, I still think that there will always be a need for in-lab studies. There may not be as many sleep centers in the future, but I suspect the larger academic centers and hospital-based sleep centers, they will still have a need. I know someone had already mentioned that you're seeing sicker patients all the time in the sleep lab. We've had 3 patients come in wheelchairs in one night, 3 of our 6 patients. And, you know, we're seeing a lot more medical comorbidities, older patients, people not doing well on CPAP because they have central apnea, chain strokes, breathing, they're on oxygen, morbid obesity. I mean, these are people who couldn't do a home study on themselves, and you know, their issues are so complicated. You know, titrating isn't as simple as it used to be sometimes. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to switch to BiPAP now. Do I need VPAP? Can I qualify ASV? I mean, it's very, very complicated, and those patients, I think, will always need in-lab studies. So I think there really is a need for registered techs, and that area isn't going away. It may decrease a little, but there are shortages now, although other areas of the country, Northeast, Boston area, I think they have a surplus. So I think the point is registered techs may have to consider that they may need to relocate to find a good, well-paying job.
Well, I think that a lot of the registered techs that have been in the field for a while are going to expand into some of these newer roles as well. I've seen that in my own lab, and I've heard of it from many other places across the country, where their best technologists are now moving into the patient care roles in the daytime and assisting with home sleep testing, but also assisting physicians who are seeing patients, and this also impacts on the ability for the physician to see more patients. So if the technologist is seeing the patient that's on CPAP and doing the download and reviewing that data and giving the physician a synopsis of what's going on with the patient, it's saving time for the physician who is now able to see more patients. So there's a lot of new roles, I think, that are going to give us a better career ladder for sleep technologists as well.
Yeah, I think we maybe have the pendulum with the home sleep testing in one way, and you know how they go, and we may find that the role, as everyone's indicated, the role for sleep technologists may be somewhat different, but baseline knowledge and how to read and evaluate the data isn't going away. And I do think, as we do see these sicker patients, that hopefully insurers will see that a home sleep test or the limited time that somebody actually spends with a sleep specialist actually produces worse results than hopefully eventually paying for those services in order to achieve better outcomes.
And now there's also a lot of wearable technology. You know, you have the Fitbit and the Jawbone and a variety of these bands that monitor your sleep, per se. I assume they're like somewhat like actigraphy. And so, and there's pulse oximeters you can attach to some of them and download your data. So, you know, in the future, you know, people may be doing their own home sleep studies without a physician, without these expensive devices we're putting on them. I mean, that there's an incredible amount of potential there. And actually, we're going to look at the state-of-the-art equipment in the BRPT symposium in this summer. It's going to be the focus. There's so much out there, so many apps, and it's just a matter of time before individuals will come into the doctor and they'll say, hey, here's what my EKG was doing. Here's what my oxygen was doing last night. Here's what my sleep is like. And so there's a lot of information that can be gathered on these personal devices, and somebody needs to explain to people, what does this mean? You know, they got this stuff, and they don't know what to do with it.
I agree. This is Robin. I agree. One thing I do want, there's a caveat, though, and as a user of an unnamed device and as a sleep person, I recognize there, and as a researcher, that probably these devices haven't gone through the rigor. Therefore, people may look at their data and say, I slept pretty good last night. It tells me I slept 7.6 hours and I was restless. But that restless time doesn't equate to awakened time. So I think we need to, as you mentioned, that people are going to come in and start asking us these questions. I don't think many of these manufacturers have actually, you know, done the verification and validation that is necessary to provide a robust tool, at least at this point in time, at least from those commercially available mobile medical apps.
Oh, yeah. But it's starting, and the technology is really exceeding our abilities to actually harness it and make it really practically useful from a medical point of view. But there's great potential there.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you. And then I simply want to go through now and see if I can get closing thoughts for anyone who would like to offer any last thoughts on what sleep technologists should be doing to survive and thrive in their careers. Dr. Arend, would you like to take a few moments to share any final thoughts today?
Sure. I think that the sleep technologists of today, they need to expand their horizons, find out what they're interested in or good at, and move towards maybe the management of sleep centers, getting into billing aspects, more of the activities that happen during the day. If organization skills and management is their forte or they'd like to do that, that's a piece that they can add on to their already existing knowledge. Alternatively, many of the sleep techs, in fact, most that I meet, have such great people skills. They get along so well with the patients at night. The patients just love them. They're all nurses and doctors. That's what they call them. You know, they were so good. And I think they can, if that's one of their strengths and they like dealing with people, they should, you know, pursue something like the clinical sleep health credential and maybe try to learn to work with people and help them understand not only their sleep study, but their treatment and how to adjust their lives to improve their outcomes in general and be that person between the physician and the patient so that they can assimilate the information and empower the patient to help them take care of themselves. I think that field will explode with a need for these types of educated individuals.
Terrific. Dr. Crinson, final thoughts?
It's sleep medicine is still in its infancy, and the discovering of sleep disorders is still in its infancy. 85% of patients with sleep apnea are still undiagnosed, So there's a tremendous number of people that are in need out there. So the more the sleep technologists can be able to serve them, the better everyone will benefit from that. So I think it's just going to be a matter of persevering, gain as much knowledge, as much extra certification. Those are always good benefits and extra skills that will be valuable. And the more you're associated with other types of sleep disorders and other types of health problems, and you have a good rounded aspect of people's generalized health, the more valuable you'll be.
Terrific. Rita, would you like to share any final thoughts?
Well, my focus has been for many years on education. I started my career training EEG technologists and then sleep technologists as I got into sleep. And I agree with what others have said. I think that there is an expanding role for the technologist and that it's going to hinge on them continuing their education, learning about the various comorbidities and the new technologies that are out there, and expanding their horizons. I think we're not just night techs anymore, and I think that's a great thing for the technologist that's in the field and coming into the field.
Very good points. And Robin, any closing thoughts from you today?
Yeah, I think just I'd like to tell the technologist to invest in yourself as well as advocate for yourself. And you also must advocate for your patient. And again, just getting out there and making sure that people understand the importance of this role, the integration of sleep health into mainstream health, general health and promotion, and really be your own PR.
Very good advice to today's technologists. Well, thank you to today's panelists for your insights on sleep technologists. And thanks to everyone for listening. Until next time, visit us at www.sleepreviewmag.com for the latest news on sleep medicine careers and other sleep medicine issues.